I'm going to turn this thing over to Brother Dave Barnes. Come on up. Tell us what we like to hear, Dave, right out of the scriptures.
Yeah. It's true. Good point. Thank you. All righty. For those of you who may not know, I never wear ties. I am wearing a tie this morning because Byron asked me to step it up. So I'm doing the best I can at stepping it up. I might even put long pants on next week. All right. First of all, let's open with a word of prayer to get us focused in the right place. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to understand, first of all, salvation, but then our position as representatives for you, as ambassadors for Christ. Quiet our hearts, open our minds as we begin this study in your name. Amen. Amen. The conference was a lot of fun. Cooking was a lot of fun. Went over well. Everybody ate everything, so we had very little leftovers. There are some more hamburger buns, however, in the back. If somebody needs them, take a few buns home. Okay. One thing I recognized or realized when I was in the conference, because I was saved very young, 1972, Halloween, I have never asked for forgiveness of my sins. Awesome. I was led right into the understanding of grace and my position in Christ, and I have never prayed for forgiveness. Now, I've prayed to God saying, I'm sorry what I did. I've been sorrowful for things I did that I shouldn't have done or what have you, but I never asked for forgiveness of my sin. I do not know what that feels like. I mean, it's a burden that almost all of you had been through for many, many, many years. Yeah, Catholic Church, big time. A controlling burden that you've had for many, many years. And I never saw that. It's sad that God does, not that God, that man tries to change the program that God set up. Salvation is by the finished work of Christ, period. Okay? These verses we've gone over many times, but let's go through real quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And listen to what it says. It doesn't say, also do this. It doesn't say, oh, and by the way, you need to tithe. And it doesn't say, and oh, by the way, you need to ask for forgiveness. What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which was preached unto me, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Now, what is that gospel? By which also ye are saved, if you haven't kept in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul's trying to get him focused here, okay? What does it say, verse 3? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. That's the salvation. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Why does man try to add to the gospel? They try to add to the gospel so they can control each other, so their egos can be satisfied, so they can feel better going, look at those folks. I don't live like that. Boy, I'm better than them. I'm better than these folks. And, oh, by the way, make sure you turn your money in. Church is a business. It's a very big business. You drive around this county here, and there's a church every corner. How do they all survive? Well, they survive because they guilt trip people into doing things. It's a sad point. And man changes the program. God set up the program, not man. God set up the program to accept. Now, what is accepting? It's not just the knowledge of it. And this is something we talked a little bit about at the conference. It's not just the knowledge that it happened, that Jesus was here, he died on the cross. No, it's when you accept that for your eternal salvation, when you realize that's how I'm getting to heaven, and I accept what he did, what do you get? You get the peace. You don't get an emotional high. You don't do backflips. You don't jump through the hoops. But you get peace. I remember even back in 1972, it was Halloween. It was either the night before Halloween or Halloween night. It was during the Halloween season. I wanted to know more. So they pulled us apart, and I sat with a counselor, and he talked about it. And the peace that I had when I accepted what Jesus had done instead of me trying to perform anything, and I was 15 or whatever it was, 14, whatever it is, was a peace that I've had ever since. If you have that peace after you are understood and accepted, you're saved. If you don't have that peace, look at yourself. Analyze yourself a little bit. Make sure you just don't have a head knowledge of this, but you have not accepted it for your eternity. That's a tough thing for some people. It was not very tough for me at 14, 15. It made a lot of sense. I could see that, and it was right there, and it was pretty obvious, and I accepted it. And it was my salvation. So keep that in mind as we go through this study. With that being said, the paper's in front of you. I have spiritual maturity creates peace and joy with God. I've taught this before. I added a few things to it. But it's done. I want people to understand that, because if you do not understand your position in Christ and your spiritual maturity, first of all, if you're not saved, you don't have any peace and joy. But even if you're saved and you don't understand all the details, you're going to find yourself getting wrapped up in a bunch of negativity. And that is not what this is all about. God does not want negativity. God wants us to love one another, help one another, be with one another, solve problems with one another, love one another, pray for one another, and as a team, move forward in the world, reflecting the love of Christ. Make opportunities to do wonderful things for people. That's what it's all about. Let's look at your papers here, and I've got the papers, and by the way, if anybody wants one of these, get a hold of me, and I'll be glad to email it to you. I write everything down because I'm an old computer. I don't have enough memory to keep it all in my head. All right, here's what we got. For far too long, the church has been confused spiritual maturity with works and performance. They've confused those. Oh, I'm doing all this stuff, so I'm a mature Christian. I'm performing for God. Look at this, and how sad. Many people feel that if they are doing work for the Lord, they are now a mature Christian. However, this is far from the truth, especially if performance has the individual's focus. How many people, and some of you did this in the past, well, look what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that for the church. I'm doing this for the church. I must be in great shape with God. If you're not saved, you're not in great shape with God. If you're saved, that's all it takes to be in great shape with God, and nothing else matters. Now, can you live an ungodly life? Absolutely, and be miserable. Or you can live a godly life and enjoy the benefits of that. And there are a lot of them, because I've lived both of them. And trust me, I got the t-shirts. I got a whole closet full of t-shirts from the negative side. It doesn't go anywhere, folks. It's a sad place to be. I'm 65. Do I still make mistakes now? Absolutely. Do I sin about every 3.5 minutes? Okay? But it's seconds. But God has taken care of that. Okay? My maturity is not in my performance. It's in my attitude. It's in my outlook. It's in how I try to help and make a difference. That's where maturity lies. Okay? That's not to say that we are... This is definitely going to be a two-weeker. I'm only in the first paragraph here. It's not to say that we are not to do good works, but we must do them with the right focus and motivation. That's important. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to win favor with God, or am I doing this because of what God has already done for me? That's the difference, and that's very important, okay? We must have a firm understanding of grace and conduct ourselves with the right attitude and commitment. In addition, we must be careful to be sure that we are teaching the right spiritual knowledge based on grace and rightly dividing the word. If you are in Christ, a new creature in Christ, learn and then share. Don't teach the wrong stuff that you grew up understanding, which was a misfocus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Give you a second to get there. By the way, I'm learning to talk slower because this week I did a film for the Food Network, whatever it was, a client for the Food Network. And this guy talks so fast, and I had to keep slowing him down. Finally, it's like 15 takes of each piece, and the last take is the one that worked. They put it together, send it to the client, and the client's like, you slowed him down. He thought I slowed him down in editing. No, it was just the last take. I kept saying, slow down. So I'm learning. Okay, I'm getting there. But it takes a while. Again, I'm old. It takes a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God which was given unto me, this is Paul talking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, excuse me. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because they shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, and what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, thereon he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Okay? As by the fire. Yeah, also by the fire. In other words, you can be understanding your position in Christ and teach the wrong stuff, and it has no value. Building the big church up, having the airplanes, airplanes a little bit stretch here, building the church up, all sorts of events and things you do for the wrong reason have no value. Yet you do one thing for the right reason, it'll stand out for eternity. Motivation is everything. What drives you? You know, why do we do things? Do we do things, again, I always bring this up, and I bring it up many, many times, and I have to apologize for doing this. It's my brain melting. You know, it's coming out my nose. Anyway, do we do things for the right reason? Am I doing something to win favor with God or get present or have the world look at me and go, look, he's doing that. What a wonderful guy. Blah, blah, wrong place. I do it because it's the right thing to do. And the opportunity is there. And you make a difference in people's lives. If we all understood that and lived that way, and a lot of people do in grace, I'm not saying you folks don't, but a lot of people do, the world would be a much better place. It wouldn't be full of divisions and arguments and people fighting over crazy things that make no sense whatsoever. You know, I believe the motivation of when I do things, motivation is everything, and God judges that. If I have the wrong motivation, it's going to burn up and it's going to go away. Simple as that. There's no value in the end, okay? Our foundation must be fixed on the work of Jesus Christ, with the backbone of grace that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, not a misunderstanding of religion, because that's what happens in most cases. Our message must reflect the unconditional love God has for us as seen through the dispensation of grace. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Let's understand why it's this way. Why it's not Dave's strength, because as handsome as I am and as muscular as I am, I have pretty slim strength. I look good. I'm a good looker, okay? That's a good start. That's all I got. That's all I got to offer. Anyway, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Yep. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were without strength, wow. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's program, not church, not religion. Okay? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's where we stand. That's the peace. That's how we get to enjoy our Christian experience. And sometimes Christian, what do you want to call it? Okay? Our new creature in Christ experience. Okay? For if we were, verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When he resurrected, we have the opportunity for that eternal life. That's God's program. And that's all there is to it. You can't add more to it. If you do, and people do it all the time, and they put their faith in their works, they put their faith in the fact that they are, I'm trying to pray for every sin that I do. My wife, before she was saved, she prayed in the shower. And man, the water bills were amazingly high. Okay? Saving a fortune here. Anyway. That's it. The reality is this, folks. If you've added anything to it, if you're praying or if you're doing anything, you're performing anything, if you walk the aisle for Jesus, if you're being baptized for your salvation, okay? None of that matters. That is not salvation. Those are works. Salvation is the program that God set up. Very simple. Boom, boom, boom. Done. Boy, that's hard for people, is it not? It's hard to get people to understand that. They wrestle with it. They fight it. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Here we go. Now, this is important because modern church doesn't even understand this, and they don't even look at it, and they certainly don't understand and teach it the way we do. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, let us say there's a, for him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's the reality. That's unfortunately what most people do not understand in the religious worlds today. And you know what? They don't live a very happy life. Take most of the religious people you know, and if you can get them to seriously slow down and talk about their relationship to God, they're going to say, well, I don't know, I think, I hope, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever, but they are not at peace. They do not have the joy of maturity. Maturity is understanding and then living it. Maturity is not being a genius and going through, you know, seminary and having all these degrees, okay? It's about what you can do with that information and how you learn it. It's right there in the Bible. You hear it from preaching. You add to it. You dig in. You study more. You get better at it. Okay? The more you understand and know, the more peace and joy you have when problems arise. Oh, I'm okay with this. I have a thing called the 3-day rule I've talked about many, many times in this class. If I have a problem in business, some situation that's going on, if nobody's bleeding out, nobody's going to die, I leave it alone for 3 days. 95% of all the problems solve themselves. It becomes pretty obvious after a day and a half, 2 days, 3 days, where what needs to be done. Or it solves itself. All those things happen. I have peace. In crises, I have peace. I've had clients come to me and go, why are you so peaceful? Well, I'm at peace with my Creator to start with. It's a great opening line. You know that? Life is not difficult if you live it and understand it and your position in Christ. Are there challenges? Yes. Are there problems? Yes. Everything has problems. But they're not overwhelming. They don't take you down. Okay? Next time you come into a crisis, stop. Look to God and say, all right, what do you want me to learn from this one? And just let it go for a couple days. And it'll be obvious. You'll learn something. You move on. The next time it comes up, it'll be easy to handle. Life is not that complicated. It is if you're not in Christ. Because the burdens of the world will eat you up. The burdens of the world, if you're not saved, will eat you up. Your connection, your disconnection, I should say, to Christ, to God, will eat you up. You'll be a very, very miserable person. Okay? It's really that simple. Where's your focus I've got written down here? How do you act reconciled? Are you trying to win favor with God? Or why do you do what you do? Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Am I slow enough? Am I doing okay? My wife's giving me a medium kind of thing there.
Well, you're doing a lot better.
Thank you. You know, that morphine's working. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you there? Ask yourself, are you at peace? And the people out there watching in Facebook, are you at peace with your Creator? Done. If you're not, you need to explore this. You may understand what Christ is all done about and that he died on the cross, but you've not committed it to yourself. You've actually not let your ego get out of the way and say it's all God. That's tough. I think it's tougher for men to do that. I don't know why. I'm just saying that because I'm a guy. It's tougher, I think, for men to do that. But the reality is, once you've given it to God, you don't have anything to worry about. It's a done deal. And boy, is it peaceful. Does it certainly beat anything else? Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a great place to be. And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. I love verse 19 here. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God was in Christ on the cross. Think about that for a minute. How personal is it, God's program that he set up? It doesn't get any more personal. And that's why he expects each of us to personally accept the finished work of Christ, not performance. Not, here's the standard, do A, B, C, and D, and you're saved. Okay? No. He wants a personal commitment. I match God's personal commitment to me when he was on the cross with my acceptance and my personal commitment to him. It's a wonderful thing. It's not hard to understand when you see it. Because that's what he did, okay? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The world's been reconciled. Have you chose to participate in that? That's a choice you make. But the job's been done, okay? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what it's all about. It's not more complex than that. I thank God that I understood grace and was saved at a very young age and didn't go through the religious dogma that I certainly have seen everybody here go through and talk about. And I've been to Catholic services and I've been to all sorts of services over the years, you know, just different ways. And yeah, there's a whole lot of poo, 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 you're going to do it my way or the highway kind of stuff going on. Very, very sad. Satan loves that. Satan's all about control. If he can control these people, make them feel religious, make them feel like they're doing the right thing, but they're yet totally lost, guess what happens? He gets them all in the end. Sound effects, very important. Gets them all in the end. The reality is, that's a sad place that religion is at. And that's probably, I'm going to say 90, 95% of the world, maybe more. Okay? Satan's done a good job of stretching out the truth and changing it and making people focus in the wrong place and not be saved. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot less people in heaven than we thought. You know, there's going to be a lot of room. There'll be extra tables at Dave's Pizza Parlor for anybody who wants to come. The reality is it's going to happen that way. I'm glad to be in the right place. I'm glad to be in the right understanding, so I've not spent a life of misery trying to figure it out. I've spent a life studying to know more, to grow. What I know now is a lot more than I knew 20 years ago, a lot more than I knew 40 years ago. You keep growing and know and learning. There are things in the grace movement that I don't agree with anymore, but I did back then. I've learned more. I've understood more. I've studied more. I've seen more. I've grown. The only thing you judge people for is, are you saved? Have you accepted the finished work of Christ? Period. Nothing else. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. That's the program God set up, not me, not man. That's God's program. And if you are there, then we can disagree about everything. And we can learn from each other, and we can teach each other. And sometimes, I mean, I can't tell you many times I've been in a study and gone, wow, Irma and I talk about this. Wow, I never saw that before. I've read those verses 75 times. I never saw that before. You know, it's amazing. That's why we have preachers and teachers to share so people can get more out of it. Okay? That's the game. That's how it works. Grace must be the foundation of your faith. If not, it will focus you on performing for God to win favor with him and not as an ambassador sharing the gospel. Your focus will be in the wrong place. When you do this, you will begin a process that will rob you of your peace and joy in Christ. You can be saved and get robbed from the peace and joy in Christ because you got misinformation after being saved. I believe that once saved, always saved. But I think people can live pretty miserably afterwards sometimes if they get in the wrong place. I've seen it. I've seen people I knew that were in grace churches go into legalism churches. And I've asked them, why are you there? He goes, well, I'm not sure, you know, whatever. They may not be saved. Okay? That's the reality. They may be saved and just lost. You know, moving in the wrong place. Okay? When you focus off of the grace and love of God, you will feel disconnected and fearful and judgmental. Oh, yeah. Now, we never judge anybody, right? Bob's saying, I'm sorry, Bob. I'm sorry. I give Bob a hard time. He's always saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not.
Sorry, Bob.
That's right. Exactly. There we go. We joke about it. But we all have those things. And don't we always judge each other sometimes, even now? It's like, why did he go up here? Why did he wear shorts with a tie? You know? Things like that. The reality is, we do it. We all do it, right?
Do you have shorts on?
Yeah, I'm glad I have shorts, too. Yeah. Byron told me to step it up, so I'm stepping it up. Okay. Yeah. So we get judgmental, we get fearful when we get away from understanding our position in Christ. How many times has something happened and you can actually step back from it and go, let's just see how this plays out, it's okay. It's not the way I would have done it, but it's okay. You know, and sometimes you can learn something from that. You know, it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing to do. This is where many Christians find themselves and wonder why the joy of their salvation has gone. I truly believe, unfortunately, people sometimes think they're saved and they're not. If you're truly saved and you focus in the right place, you're going to have joy. I truly believe we were not meant to be, we were meant to both deliver and experience God's love and joy in this world. That's the program he set up for us. That's why God sent Christ to reconnect us to him through that death, burial, and resurrection. It's amazing, the program. Don't try to change it. Don't try to make it something it isn't. If you're not experiencing this in our lives, our focus is in the wrong, not in the right place. It happens all the time. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I have a watch on, too, so I can check my own time. And I can go over, too.
Do you play guitar, too?
No, I don't. I know, I've got the AC/DC look. Yeah, that's it. Angus, I'm ready to do... That's right. Yeah, I start skipping across stage, I'm going to get hurt. It'll be Angus in the hospital. That's what it'll be. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of our hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joy and peace and believing and abound in hope. Guess what? None of us are getting out of here alive. You know? Now, people like Bob, he's living forever, and that's a good thing, okay? He's like 112, and he's still going strong, okay? I'll probably never make 80. Not with my history and my health. But you know what? My eternity is perfect. I've got every day. I've got the rest of eternity in the right place, okay? Remember, he just wants us both to go together. I'm not sure how we coordinate that, but that's not let it hurt. That was it. Great story. She's driving down the road. This car on the other side of the road's coming over, down through the center line, coming right at her van. Flipped over a few times. And she didn't say, "Oh, God, stop it." He just said, "Don't let it hurt." That's all she was concerned about. Don't make it painful, God. That's it. And it wasn't. She busted up a mirror and some other things, but she was fine. That's a great position to be in. Don't let it hurt. I'm going to go in my sleep. You know? Make it fun. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's go there a minute. This is the stuff we should and have the opportunity to be like all the time because of our position in Christ. Do we stop ourselves from being this way? 100% of the time. Man, I used to get, when I was younger, I'd get all stressed out over things and be fearful of things and what have you. And guess what? Nothing ever killed me. As long as it didn't kill me. A couple times got close, some airplane crashes and what have you. But nothing ever killed me. So I don't stress over it anymore. Why? You know? When you're falling off a building, just enjoy the flight, you know? It's going to be... And the time I fell off a barn, the landing was in manure, so it wasn't good. Yeah, it was good. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. First thing he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the cornerstone. That's where it starts, okay? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, and faith. The long-suffering is patience. Yeah, goodness is good. Long-suffering. How many are really good at that? Put your hands up. Oh, I don't see anybody. That's right. Especially at the fast food line. Whew. Going through those places, you know you're going to get the wrong food when you get to the window anyway, and it's taking them like 7 days to get it done. What's that? Yeah, I know, exactly. Oh, I never learned that lesson. Anyway, love, joy, and peace. Those are the first three. When you have love for others, for your family, for anybody who needs help, you get joy and peace out of it. It's so joyful to help somebody, to make a difference in somebody's life. Sometimes they ask why, and you get a chance to witness to them. Sometimes they never know. It doesn't matter. It's still just joyful to do it. It's a lot of fun. It's just a great place to find yourself. Long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, and faith. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Again, Paul is always talking to the believer here. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affection, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Those people also accepted the finished work of Christ, and they had joy and peace. That's what I'm talking about when you're saved. Bob and I were talking about a little bit beforehand. You don't necessarily have this emotional experience where you're dancing and doing flips in the aisle. I mean, that's very charismatic, but the bottom line is that's not the reality. The reality is finally that wrestling element of your soul that was disconnected from God is at home. And I said, peace. And it feels wonderful. I know Jim back there coughing. He went through that when you were washing your house, right? When you were saved? Was that the story again? Okay, well, don't worry about it. Let's go to Irma. Irma fought me forever on an understanding of our position in Christ. No, it's got to be more. It's got to be more. She went through religion for a long time in her life. And I was like, no. And we went to conferences, and I was gracious. And we'd sit in the car, and she'd yell at me all the way home, and I'd explain things again. And it was yes.
I remember.
Yeah, okay.
I was washing my house. Mm-hmm. And everybody in here knows that my favorite verse in the Bible is, says it all. But wash the suit, and we are complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
He did 100% everything necessary to stay very fine in this room. If you're trying to challenge that with your own good works and everything, good luck. I'll trust what he did for me 100%. But I was washing my house, and I was using quartz, and it, all this dirt, it just goes away, and it's just clean and light. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Christ did at the cross. He went through everything. It's all gone.
Yep.
And so that's why I also think once saved, if you're complete in Him, how can you be incomplete?
That's right. Amen. Does it? It comes from man trying to make you. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But did you? But you had that peace when you finally connected. When you finally got it, you were like, "Ah, oh, finally." Yep. Exactly. Absolutely. Irma was reading it in Romans. I was on the road doing some project, and she calls me on the phone. She goes, "I'm saved." We talked about it. She'd been reading it in Romans, and she got it. It connected. It finally clicked with her, and she gave up herself. And God took over. Wonderful. That's what happens for all of us if we're saved. We're at peace. We don't wrestle anymore. What a great place to be. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Our work for Christ must be grace-focused. Our motive must be to give back what we've already been given, not to win favor by works with God, but reflecting God's love back to the world. I talk about that all the time. And I'm telling you, you guys are tired of hearing me say it, I'm sure. Okay? Our motivation is very important, and that we do things for Christ. The peace of your salvation, I've got this written down from my own notes here. The peace of your salvation is connected to your outlook, not your activity. Okay? The peace of your salvation is not, I've done my performance for God this week. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot that. Let me get that one going. Blah, 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 whatever. Okay? It's not that. It's a focus. What am I all about? What am I here to do? What can I do for this world? How can I share the love of Christ? How can I help somebody else to understand that it's not about performance? We all have very, very religious friends who are very, very wrapped in doing things for God. They think that's maturity, but they've lost their salvation because they're focused on their performance, not what God did. God's program is very simple. Christ died on the cross, was buried, and was resurrected for our justification. It's not any more complex than that. And if you're watching this at home or seeing this later, I think most of the people in this room have already understood that, but some may not. If you've added something to that or taken something away from that or put more into that situation to be saved, you're not.
No, you're calling God a liar.
You're calling God a liar. Very good point. That's why he's still around. That's good. Very true. You are. You're calling God a liar. He set the simple program up, and you're trying to change it. Why do you try to change God's program? Come on. This is God. You think you can outdo him? No. Man thinks he can. And he definitely knows that he can control people if he does this or adds this to it or whatever. Okay? Reflect the love of Christ. Don't perform out of what you have to do. I got an hour left, she said. Good. That's good. I got plenty of time for it. She just smiles, shakes her head, and goes, he's crazy. I've lost my page here. Where am I at here? Oh, yeah, down here. Peace of your salvation is continued, and it's in your outlook, not your performance. That means sometimes you have the right outlook, and you don't get the opportunity to do something. You know, but you were thinking about it. You tried to do something with it. And then there's opportunities where you can do things and make a difference in the world. I marked out the other verse there we already studied. We can go past that. Understanding our motivations is also shown in our response to rewards. Okay? What's your motivation? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 17 through 19. Give you a chance to get there. You know, you never get through all this stuff, even though you try to. Yeah, you know what that story is. You start out, you've got this stuff all figured out. This is going to be an hour long, and all of a sudden, you're an hour into it, and you're halfway there, maybe. But you know what? That's because we keep expounding on it. We keep focusing on the right stuff. And we want people to understand that and take it home and share it and give it and live it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 17 through 19. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that which I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Be careful how you use it. If you want your reward to have any value at all, have the right motivation. Do not do it out of your own self. Are we going to do selfish things? Come on, let's all shake our heads yes. Bob's saying no. Bob's old enough to get to that point. The rest of us are going to do something selfish at times. You know, I think if these people did this, it would be nice, you know, if they, blah, 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 whatever. The reality is that's not where God wants us. If we're going to have a reward for anything, do it from the right motivation, or guess what? It has no value for God. Okay? You can still do it. It just has no value for God. Let's see. Verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant to all men, that I might gain the more. Okay? Are you a servant? Are you focused in the right place? Or are you about getting whatever you think you need? Our whole world is focused on the fact you got to do this and this and this to perform to get this. I got to do things or my clients don't pay me. You know, I've got to, when you're younger, you got to do this and this and this for people to be happy with you, whatever it is. God says, no. You just do it. And if you do it from the right motivation, that's all that matters. That's what it's all about. That's a hard place for some people to get to. I don't think so much in this room. A lot of these people don't understand it here. But there are people that are wrestling with this. They're like, wait a minute. If she doesn't do this, then I don't get to do this, and I don't get to, wait a minute. None of that matters. Where's your eternity? My eternity's in a better place. I plan to live another 70 years, but after that, you know, I'm going to be in a good place. That's the reality. That's what it is all about. Okay, I'm going to finish with this last statement. This is how we are to act for Christ. Our focus must be on the gospel of God's grace, not ourselves. Sadly, many people and ministers, boy, what about that one, huh? How many people have seen that, or lived that, or dealt with that? In reality, ministers are wrapped up to better themselves and promoting their ministries instead of the gospel of grace. That's 99.99% of religion. I can have a bigger church. I can have more people in the pews. I can have more money. I get a bigger parsonage. I can have a new car. I can have an airplane for some of them. Oh, yeah, I need a bigger airplane. The one I got only seats 5 people. I only fly 2 at a time, but I need one that seats 50 people. Okay? That's the sad part of a lot of people in their experience with God. They're not saved. They're lost. And they focus on those things. A reward is the opportunity to love and serve Christ. Our reward is God's grace that has already been given to us. That's the reward. That's the motivation. Nothing else is motivation. Nothing else, think about that, nothing else other than the love of God, the love of Christ, is our motivation for doing the right thing and helping others and getting out there. When you live that way, guess what you get? Peace, joy. What a great place to be. You get opportunities, you see things, people see you, they see the love of Christ being reflected off of you, they ask questions, you get to share the gospel. It's a great place to be. Okay? That doesn't make you sin-free by any means. And if you do something wrong and offend somebody, apologize for it. Go back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do that right, I didn't word it right, whatever, you know. I'm used to doing this, Bob. I've done it a lot, okay? I've been down that road. The reality is, The reality is, our focus needs to be in the right place. And when we make mistakes, solve them. But always be focused on the reflection of the love of God. I want all of us this week to look for opportunities. Look for ways that you can find something simple to do to help somebody in some way.
Expect nothing in return.
Bingo. Expect nothing in return. Enjoy the opportunity to give. Enjoy the peace and joy that comes from helping somebody in some way. That's it. Forget about the rest of it. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. Buy them a meal. Help them with this. Help with that. I hear people talking about their financial woes sometimes, and I'll help them out. Not that I do that with everybody, because you never know, and I don't know who these people are. Yeah, the people I know, like, I will help them out if I can. Sometimes I'm rich and I got it. Sometimes I'm poor and I don't have it. I've been in business. I'm still in business. After 50 years, I've been both ends. There's never a happy medium. I ran into that this week with a client who's just starting out their own business, and they're wondering why it's so tough. And I said, it'll always be tough. It's never going to change. You either love dancing and figuring it out, or don't do it. It's as simple as that. Get a job. I mean, if you can put up with the uncertainty of being a businessman, go for it. I love it. It's a lot of fun. Do I love it when it's a crisis? No. Do I live through the crisis? Yes. I had a crisis 2 days ago. I had hard drives crashing on me with really important stuff in them. I was going crazy. I was quiet at dinner. I couldn't even focus. I finally got some more drives. I dinked with them. I figured it out. I solved it. So it's been a good weekend after that. But that's life, okay? If that stuff crashed, I'd be in deep trouble because it's clients from Virginia to, you know, all around the country that are on those drives. Anyway, that's not important. The point fact is this. opportunities are out there. Share the love of Christ. Get that out there for people to see and recognize. Understand your salvation comes from the finished work of Christ and not your performance in any way, shape, or at all. It doesn't. There's nothing that you can do better than what God's program is set up to do. I keep pointing at empty board, but anyway. You can't beat what God has already put out there. Enjoy it. Live it, share it, and let other people see the love of Christ in you and your actions so you can give that away. Let's close with a word of prayer.